It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Austrian beer blogger Martin Voigt, welcome and great to meet you, man.
Thank you for having me, or servus, as we would say in Austria.
Okay.
Say that again.
Servus.
Servus?
Just say servus, hi, like you would say. Yeah. We say servus.
Like greetings.
It's a greeting, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Of course.
Welcome to your Austrian language lesson today. We'll learn more. You told me outside that you're the only beer blogger in Austria.
This makes
no sense.
That's a real shame, isn't it?
How is this possible?
I don't know. And
you can't swing a dead cat out in the parking lot without hitting a bunch of beer bloggers from here.
And I'm not even a real Austrian. I'm a born German, so I moved to Austria 14 years ago. So there's only one guy blogging about beer in Austria, and he's a German. Wow, how ridiculous is that?
What is wrong with those people?
Yeah, I don't know.
That is so bizarre. I mean, but tell us about Austrian beer. I mean, what's the difference, say, between German and Austrian beer, and they must do some great stuff.
For sure they do. First of all, the Austrian and the German beer scene, they share the same roots. There's a long history in brewing beer in Germany and in Austria, and it's probably more or less the same roots they share. So Austria has lots of breweries, mid-sized breweries that have a long heritage of brewing, and of course they brew the classical beer styles.
Explain classical beer styles from Austria.
For example, Märzen. 80% of the beer sold in Austria is Märzen beer.
And that's so, like what they use for Oktoberfest, right? It's like the classic Oktoberfest.
Exactly what they use.
That's a style of beer, not a brewery.
It's a style of beer,
okay.
Like a Helles.
Märzen. So you'll actually see that on
it's
bottles
a lager beer.
Or cans out there. Yeah.
Yeah. And 80% of the beer sold in Austria is still this lager beer. Of course, we have some Pilsners, but for Pilsner, it's more the German that do this style. Mm-hmm. But during the last decades in Germany, the major brands took over all the small breweries. They bought them right from the spot, and just we had only, let's say, 4 to 5 major companies buying all the small breweries. So in most regions, all the small ones got wiped out. In Austria,
that's been happening a lot around the world.
Yeah, right? but not in Austria.
Really?
In Austria, we still have small breweries or mid-sized breweries that existed for many, many years. And Austrians are used to buy beer from their local brewery, and they want the beer from their local brewery. So, which makes it a lot easier, on one hand, for the Austrians to get into the craft beer, because they used to have local breweries instead of mass production beer.
Yeah.
High quality. They can recycle the bottles. They bring the bottles back.
They know the
brewmaster.
Mm-hmm. So wow. It's one of their neighbors. So it's more or less like the craft beer revolution is going on all over Europe. But on the other hand, as they are so used for many, many years to buy beer from their local brewery, they stick to this brewery. So for new, smaller breweries, it's quite hard to break those walls down and attract them with new beer styles. But of course, in Germany and in Austria, craft beer is a big thing. The market share is still, let's say in Germany, it's a little bit higher than in Austria, but it's still way below 5%. So,
what's the scene there like, too, though? I mean, like, so, like, everywhere I go in Europe, they crave American beer, especially California beer, which is, I guess, partially why you're here, right?
That was my next question.
Yeah,
what do they think about American beer? And is Lagunitas well known? And
Russian River?
Lagunitas just got a distributor in Vienna. So, Marcus, that was with you last week. He's the distributor for Lagunitas for, I'd say, 6 months now. Hmm. At the last craft beer festival, Lagunitas had his own booth there, and they were presenting the Lagunitas beers in Vienna. So it depends who you're talking to. If it's somebody who knows about craft beer, he would say that U.S. beer is quite one of the best beers you can get in the world. But those beer drinkers who have never been into craft beer, they would say or would think about these fizzy lagers that you get from the major brands and the lack of taste. And
what about the IPAs that we everyone loves here? I mean, the super have IPAs, hoppy of stuff. Course.
Yeah, sure. People love hoppy beers. We have the full variety of beer styles that you can get here as well. So it's not really that you need to go to the U.S. for getting a good IPA, but when you're on Facebook or on social media and you read about those American beers, one day you want to get them in your hands. And of course, many breweries don't ship to Europe for quality reasons, so you have to go here, come here and taste the beer here. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. And you're here for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, just 2 weeks only, but I think intense 2 weeks.
He visited Sierra Nevada Brewing Company up in Chico already.
Yeah.
I took him over to Russian River Brewing, introduced him to Brian Hunt from Moonlight, and he got to do a nice video interview with Brian. What did you think about those beers at Moonlight?
Wow, this was an awesome night out with Brian. It was crazy beers that he had, the non-hop beers, the IPAs he did, the dark lager he did.
Death awesome in Texas. Beers.
And talking to him was like opening a book. And
yeah, he's a trip.
Reading from the first page to the last.
Yeah. Quickly, the difference between Germany and Austria, not beer-wise, but just in general, because a lot of us, I always figured Austria was just part of Germany, but it's a whole separate country.
It's a whole separate country. To put it into relations, Austria is probably one-fifth of California. We have size-wise and
small place.
Small place, yeah, but has a lot of mountains. The Germans go there to ski, and there's a little rivalry going on between Austria and Germany.
I would think so,
because the Austrians always think that the Germans look down on them as their younger brother, and they don't take them for serious, which is not true at all. But it's always when you're the smaller one and you're looking up to the big one. Germany is 10 times bigger than Austria,
right?
So. Yeah, there's kind of rivalry, and there are a lot of jokes between the Germans and the Austrians, but never take them too serious.
Yeah, that's like Michigan and Ohio. Yeah. I grew up in Michigan, and we hate Ohio, and Ohio hates us.
And the British and the Irish, probably the same.
Yeah, because they're similar. He is Martin Voigt, the only, believe it or not, only Austrian beer blogger. When are you leaving?
For Germany? Or for Austria?
When are you leaving here?
He goes down to San Diego Saturday. He's going to go see the San Diego Chargers play some football and then go see
That's
some breweries
the Los
in San
Angeles
Diego.
Chargers.
Oh, wait.
It's the Los Angeles Chargers. Just
see what
just
I know? I know baseball. Go Giants.
They changed the franchise, huh?
Yeah. They moved to L.A. There's no football team in San Diego, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah. Here's our quote of the day, me saying just before we got back on air, holy crap, what a nose. And I wasn't talking about any of our guests. I was talking about this the nose in this cider from Austria.
Yes.
Martin Voigt is here. I still can't believe he's the only Austrian beer blogger, but apparently he is. Quickly tell us about this.
This is a cider. It's called Black Stock. And not only craft beer became popular in Austria, but also cider. And there's one guy in Vienna, he's doing the cider, and he's using hops in the cider, which makes it famous all over Europe right now, and they are trying to export it now to the U.S.
I could use this as a cologne. It smells so good.
Yeah,
it tastes great.
I don't want to say what type this is, because we have Dr. Hobie Wedler here, who is a Ph.D. Sensory scientist, and I'm interested to hear what you're going to pull out of the nose for the cider.
Yeah, please don't pull anything out of your nose.
And then we have Bob Sonnenberg here too from the Earl Bob Center, and he is blind as well. And then we have Jeff, and I am blanking on your last name. I am so sorry, from the Earl Bob Center as well.
Jeff Harrington.
Harrington.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us.
Hey, welcome, guys.
Steve and Herlinda, thank you. It's always an honor to be on with you guys.
We love having you on. You know that.
It's a great time to be here. I was telling Steve during the break that I'm actually flying a plane during the air show.
I'm going with him.
Sunday, so, so we'll be having some fun with that.
Turn left. Make a left here, Doc.
Yeah. And now let's...
And let me out of the damn plane.
Yeah, let's get out of this plane. Let's not continue that. Right, exactly.
Did you say something about three blind mice coming in today?
I did. We're going to see how we all run.
We're not flying.
No. Okay, so.
Cider's really stunning.
Talk about it, Ben.
It's an amazing cider. Let me just see what I can describe from the nose. So I would say this has sort of a cascade hops in it, maybe a little bit of Citra.
Yes, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Probably you don't know the hop variety they used there because it's a new variety in from Germany.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's a lemon drop.
Lemon drop, okay.
There you go. That's what I'm looking
that's
at.
That's what it is. And there's
the taste is lemon drop.
It's lemon drop.
There's also this gorgeous sort of clovey, almost cardamom aspect to this that I think is really quite stunning. And then the flavor is off dry, beautiful. A little bit of pear and apple in here.
There's a citrus in there.
Is there?
That,
oh, my God.
That is called a Buddha's hand. Have you ever smelled that?
Yes, the Japanese yuzu. That's amazing.
Yep, and there's Meyer lemon, bergamot, and kaffir lime.
You know, here in Sonoma County, we're sort of, I know they're not native, but I call us the Meyer lemon capital of the world.
Yep.
So tasting this from overseas, it sort of brings me back home a little bit.
So this is Austrian and they're trying to, or German?
This is Austrian.
It's Austrian.
It's from Vienna.
They're hoping to sell it over here. Well, they certainly should.
Yeah.
It's a delight.
Wherever they bring their bottles, people ask them to ship it to their place because it's really, really outstanding and it's very unique in its taste.
Unique indeed because we tasted so many ciders on this.
Oh, yeah. Well, they brought me like five different flavors that the other one is more of the hop forward one.
Yep.
It's called OMG Ugly Cider.
Oh, my God, ugly?
That sounds good.
Oh, I'll taste that.
I'll have to bring that in.
Carl, the owner or the guy who makes the cider, he's really a crazy one, and he really likes playing around with names and ingredients. He did a cucumber cider for the last Craft Beer Festival.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I bet that is good. I love cucumber.
It's refreshing like hell.
Herlinda, I
brought something up that I think would be really fun to play with just with this cider. I brought up two different aromas. One is a spice aroma, and one is sort of a roasty toasty. If you see that Oliver's bag down there, free advertising for Oliver's.
No problem.
In that bag, we have these beautiful aromas. And the spice aroma, if we pass these around and smell them, I made two of them, really pops out the spices in the cider. It's a combination of cedar chips. It's actually in the other bag there. Oh. Sorry. Yeah. It's a combination. It's a combination of cedar chips and star anise pods. And if you smell that next to the cider, you can really pick up a lot of the spices that are in the cider. We'll grab those spices here in a minute.
Oh, I'm looking at
Dr. Hobie Wedler is back with us. He is one of three of our guests who, the Earl Baum Center, as we know, for so many years, transforming the lives of people with sight loss. I want to get into the Earl Baum Center and what's happening because there's a thing going on this Saturday. But first, Hobie, can you tell everyone again, remind them what it is you do? You're a PhD.
Yeah, so I got my PhD in... computational organic chemistry about 2 years ago.
You've been blind since birth,
I've been blind since birth, yeah.
Wow.
So we now, my good friend and co-founder, Justin Vallandigham, and I have a sensory design company where we work with everything from the tech industry to the beer industry, of course, on everything from custom-designed experiences like the one I guess we'll do in a little bit to packaging and making packaging more ergonomic and more inclusive. So we really are sort of work right in this area of holistic design where we use all five senses to design products and experiences and also to make them more inclusive. And you can check us out at sensepointdesign.com.
And you do like beer dinners in the dark.
We do.
I went to one time at Hot Monk that was super fun, one of our sponsors as well.
Right.
And we were in the dark and blindfolded. And then they brought out like food and beers and things to us. And Hobie was up there, like, you know, kind of like had us like walking us through,
kind of tasting these beers and checking
and
them out,
smelling it. Like, boy, your nose is different with your eyes closed like that.
It just by taking away one sense, and eyesight is an extraordinarily distracting sense. by taking it away, we focus in on our other senses, simply, I think, because we're not distracted. And that's what my good friends at the Earl Baum Center do so well, is they train folks how to deal with sight loss.
Okay, yeah, gentlemen. Hold on. We got a gentleman from the Earl Baum Center again. Your names?
Hey, Jeff Harrington from the Earl Baum Center.
And I'm Bob Sonnenberg with the Earl Baum Center.
It's such an amazing thing that Earl Baum Center has done for so many years for so many people. I got to ask about the concert, which has become an annual big deal with some of the greatest Americana acts, and that's my wheelhouse. It is not happening now. What happened?
You know, I think that a lot of events, they have a shelf life. And for the Earl Baum Center, we made a conscious decision. We're just starting our 20th year. And it was a great run with the Earl Fest. We had it on site at the Earl Baum Center in the last couple of years. We partnered with Somo Productions.
Exactly.
So, and it was, we found, I guess, kind of maybe doing too deep analysis, but we had great fan support, but there really wasn't a lot of relationship between the fans coming to hear the music and what we did as an organization.
Okay, I could see that.
So really kind of it is a big change, but we like to showcase, and we're having this event at the Earl Baum Center this Saturday, and it's really a chance for us to be a community open house and show folks in the community and the communities that we serve what we do at the Earl Baum Center. And everyone on our staff is thrilled to be doing it and excited to be to share their skill set. And one of the great features, we have a keynote speaker happening at noontime, Amy G. I think a lot of the local folks know who she is.
With the Giants, she's been on the show many times.
Yeah, she is. She's been her grandmother was a client at the Earl Baum Center.
That's right.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Don't forget the host, her,
Linda. Yeah, I'm bringing the whole can over to you. Actually, I talked to Bob about having Amy G in one day and talking about her grandmother's experience there at the Earl Baum Center.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
oh,
she's been on a few times. Okay, Earl Baum Center. Who was Earl Baum? Explain that.
So Earl Baum was a blind farmer, and he was born in 1896.
Wow.
And he passed away in 1986 at the age of 90.
Wow.
And you know, he wanted to be a journalist, but at the time we really just didn't have the technology where he could write articles and proofread them and get them ready. So he stayed on the farm and he designed his own way of running the farm. He had a guide wire that went off his back door, and he'd grab a hold of that thing, and he would go right out to the barn.
Isn't
or he'd have
awesome?
Another guide wire
that
would go out to where his orchard was. So I guess what I'm saying is he was a blind guy, and he made it work for him. And when he left, he said, I want this place to be a place where people with visual impairments can come and learn.
It's on Occidental Road, if you've never been there. This Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., there's a lunch and a brief presentation at noon. Transforming the lives of people with sight loss. And
Sense Point will be out there pouring beer.
Are you guys?
We're going to be there.
Okay, cool.
We're going to have a table. And, if you like the way this program sounds, come taste some beer with us. Get your friends, too. If you didn't like it, well, get your enemies to come taste beer with us.
Or go to the air show and fly with the doc.
Anytime.
And Steve, we're calling it Your Vision, Our Focus. So we're really trying to make people understand, sight loss is going to affect everybody, whether it's your family or you personally. I always tell people, if you live long enough, you're going to have some sort of macular degeneration or something.
It's starting for me. I can feel it already.
My dad has an age-related macular degeneration.
Because I'm an old fart. And I'm telling you, it's starting.
We're here to help you.
Thank you. Exactly. excuse me. I have to ask, because Hobie mentioned he was blind since birth. Were you?
No, great question. No, I was diagnosed with glaucoma at the age of 13.
Holy.
And so I started to have trouble, baseball and all that stuff. And they battled it for about 10 years. So I slowly lost vision over 10 years.
Wow.
So I've been blind for a good 25 plus.
And completely?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Because you keep looking at me, and it looks like you might see me a little bit.
But keep talking.
Follow the voice.
That's it.
And Jeff's a computer whiz. He actually taught me to use the computer when I was a senior in high school. He's a brilliant teacher.
It's a Braille, small world.
Yep. A Braille computer.
Actually, it's not a Braille computer. You know, it's a text-to-speech. So really what that means, it's a Windows machine, and anything we type into it, it's going to speak back to us. Or if I open up an email from you, Steve, it would read it to me. So it just has speech built into it.
Nice. And Bob, is it?
Bob. I'm legally blind, so I have some sight. And
you got an eye patch, but obviously your right eye.
My right eye is okay. Considered, no, it's okay. It's all relative, but it's best correction 2200. I'm legally blind.
Gotcha.
But I use a different type of software, but I can see and use whatever remaining sight I have. And so at the Eurobomb Center, we try and maximize what sight people have available and teach them how to use it.
Yeah. Well, can you just, before the break, talk a little more about what the Eurobomb Center does for these folks?
Sure. So we have what I call core services, Steve. So one of the core services is you need to be able to cook and clean and, you know, all that stuff in order to live.
Right.
You need to dress, do your laundry. So, you know, there's all kinds of adaptations that can be made to make all that stuff work for you. You know, from just tactile labels to talking appliances to liquid indicators. So that's one big area that we cover. We want to make sure people can live independently and safely. You know, nobody. We don't want anyone to cut off their fingers or anything like that. So we have
I assume you deal with families and friends and stuff.
Absolutely.
Of the folks. I mean, so they can become a part of this and learn how to help.
And that's the huge part of it is the emotional adjustment and also the family understanding that the significant vision loss that somebody's experiencing.
Yeah.
You know, we actually even have some simulators where we can simulate for a family member what that looks like to have, you know, retinitis pigmentosa or macular degeneration.
Cool.
They've tried them on me. They didn't do much.
So I want to tell you guys something that Martin actually can concur with me on.
Yeah.
So in Europe, it's very interesting. We don't have this here. All of the pharmaceuticals, whether it's over-the-counter or prescription, have Braille on them. So they don't take the wrong medicine.
Yeah.
They, you know, somebody doesn't get sick, things like that. We don't have that here. It's
really
unbelievable to me that I mean, everything from the simplest aspirin in European pharmacies and grocery stores has Braille.
You know, I've never noticed that.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, Martin, in Austria, Europe, they've
got it. It's a law. You have to have it.
Yeah. What the hell's wrong with that?
Well, have you looked at CNN lately?
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
You'd think that this would have been an American thing for many
exactly.
years.
Yeah.
Especially like Helen Keller, you know, having brought, you know, she's probably the most famous blind person in America, if not the world. You'd think that they would have done something a long time
ago.
And they are starting to come out with some script talk stuff. So it is coming, you guys. It's not coming as quickly as we want it to, or it's not coming with every pharmacy.
So how do you guys deal with it?
So I was fortunate, a pharmacy that I had previously, where I could just run my prescription bottle over a little scanner, and it will read to me the entire prescription, the dosage, the doctor, how many refills I have. But the problem with that is it's not every pharmacy is jumping on board, and that's what needs to change.
Is Kaiser doing anything?
Kaiser does have a form of a topping prescription.
Okay. Good. Well, that's good. As PhD Dr. Hobie Wedler called it earlier, three blind mice with us today. Two guys, a gentleman from the Eurobomb Center. Again, we'll talk more about this Saturday event going on there. And joining us here on the Hop Monk Drive brouhaha is the only Austrian beer blogger. I still don't believe it. Martin Voigt. Great to meet you, man.
My pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. And we're going to talk about the Eurobomb Center again. The two gentlemen from the Eurobomb Center. And we have three guests who are blind. Bob, let me ask you, because we know that Dr. Hobie was blind since birth. And you, sir, how old were you?
Like 13 when I started to have glaucoma issues.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Bob, and you got an eye patch and glasses. It looks like your right eye is somewhat okay.
So I 14 years ago, I was driving up to Sacramento, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see the freeway signs. Couldn't read them.
You're 54 years old.
54 years old.
It just happened.
It just happened like,
overnight. Like
that, because that night before, I'd gone to a football game and watched my son play football. So.
And you were fine.
I was fine.
Oh my God.
So it was a, you know, it doesn't happen to everybody like that, but it was definitely a well, lack of a better word and a pun, bad pun, eye-opening experience for me, okay?
That's right. That's
I wish it was, but it wasn't.
Oh, man.
So you were driving.
I was driving, you know, and I knew Sacramento like the back of my hand, I thought, and I got around, I went to a meeting all day, and really not knowing what was going on, pretty scared emotionally. And I actually, probably not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life, but it worked out fine. I got back in the car and drove from Sacramento to San Francisco, and that was the last day I drove a car.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And what did your son say to you?
When I got the diagnosis and the doctor said, it's not going to change, Bob. It's so just stay on top of it, watch it. If any significant change happens, let us know. But sat down with both my sons. First one said, Dad, I however I can help you, I'll help you. But I have a question for you. And he said, Dad, so I heard when you lose one of your senses, another one is supposed to kick in. And I said, yes, I've heard that, Rob. But this just happened. So what are you asking me? He said, well, when are you going to get a sense of humor? And I love sharing that line, because that's really helped me deal with the blindness.
Wow.
You know, I mean, the three blind mice, we got the humor, so that's good.
Yeah.
It's a good group, okay?
You have to.
You do.
Coming up Saturday, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., there's a lunch and a brief presentation at noon at the Earl Baum Center, which is on Occidental Road, 4539 Occidental Road, here in Santa Rosa. The many years of the great concert, the Earl Fest, is over, which is unfortunate in my opinion, but I understand. And you should, if you get a chance this Saturday, check it out, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Earl Baum Center, and they're going to explain everything they do, which is just a pretty damn amazing programs.
Let's blindfold you.
Will you stop? I got to go to Paradise Ridge. I don't have a lot of time here.
And the Earl Baum Center is really a community open house. And we're going to have not only food, we're going to have Amy G is going to be our keynote speaker. Mm-hmm. And she's got a connection and story with the Earl Baum Center. We've got a number of different technology vendors there. And we've got some great sponsors that have come not only with supported us at the Earl Fest, but have also continued to support us as this is a fundraising and an opportunity for us to share what the Earl Baum Center does for the community.
It's earlbaum.org, EARLEBAUM, earlbaum.org. They've been doing amazing things for people for so many years. And, of course, Dr. Hobie Wedler is back with us. Again, just give me a quick thing on what you do, Sophie, because it's not something that we see every day or hear every day or whatever.
Well, it's an honor to be here. We are sensory designers, so we design products and experiences, and now we're going to be tasting some beer in the dark, I think. And a lot of this is how we got started, actually, doing these experiences with wine, and now we have a good time doing them with beer.
All right, we have blindfolds again.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, here they come.
All right.
Do we have to wear a blindfold too? Or are we?
You guys are cool.
Okay, good.
You don't have to worry about it.
Okay,
all right. What are we doing?
All right. So Herlinda's going to hand you some things, I guess, Steve.
Okay. So this is
She's been waiting for this moment.
I know.
You know.
Okay. So
I picked the blindfold.
All right.
This is a beer or a cider?
What you have in front of you is a beer. Now I want to smell it with you and have you see if you can tell me what it might be. I'll give you a hint.
Smells like a beer.
Martin was at this brewery a few days back.
Oh, Sierra Nevada.
That it sure is. Sierra Nevada Torpedo. And, God, the reason I love this beer and the reason I always like to showcase it whenever I get the opportunity is first and foremost because I love the story of Ken Grossman and all he did to get that brewery started in the 70s and 80s. And this beer just has the best hop and malt profile. It's got
I love it. I had a taste earlier.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's Torpedo?
It's yeah. Torpedo, yeah. It's okay. Their double IPA.
Mike, you getting photos? He's behind me. I wouldn't know.
I'm sure he is.
I am blindfolded. Wow, okay. What else are we doing?
The profile here is really, really nice. Just a really refreshing.
What do you get in the nose? Because I'm not good with beer noses for the most part. I can do.
But. I'd like to hear what Martin and Herlinda have to say.
Yeah, there you go. I forgot they're here. I can't see.
Getting the malt right away on the top, though. What do you? But Martin, being from another country, I'm more interested in what you have to say.
Actually, we have Torpedo at home. It's one of the beers that we get back home in Europe. Yeah. And I'm really glad because they recently did a collaboration with a Bavarian brewery. That's how I got in contact with them.
With Weinstephan.
With Weinstephan.
The oldest brewery in the world.
Yeah, they did a hoppy wheat. And I really like the IPA. I like the Torpedo because of its piney character.
But what are you smelling right now?
Probably me.
When I smell this beer, I get a lot of clove, a little bit of terpene, pine pitch, like moderate.
That's an inside
pine.
Joke, but I'm not.
Okay, a little bit of herbs.
Oh, I just hit the microphone with my nose. Okay.
Yeah, I did that too.
Okay.
It has a strong malty nose.
Okay. Very nice malty
I'm
nose.
Put the spice in front
of right. Let's have Steve smell some spices. And anyone else who wants to, I made two of these cups.
Okay, we're going to be short on time, so I want to get
this.
Where is it? Ooh, that's licorice.
Anise. Absolutely. So that's actually anise and some cedar chips. Kind of bringing together that hoppy character of some of the spice that you tend to get from the hops that just work brilliantly.
I love anise as an Italian. All right, give me something else. I can't see.
Okay. What are you doing at Paradise tonight, Steve?
Oh, it's the big kickoff party for the Sonoma County Wine Auction.
Well, good.
And, you know, Paradise Ridge burned down pretty much completely in the fires. Right. And they're rebuilding. And we had Renee Bick from Paradise in yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're doing a big kind of kickoff party. So.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
All right. Now, what is this? This is...
That's actually a blend of cacao and coconut. So toasted cacao beans and then a little bit of raw coconut.
The cacao, it's chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And that's really just kind of the roasty, toasty, malty quality that I love getting in that aroma.
Let me stir this around.
Yeah.
Now, see, it's kind of nondescript for me.
Okay.
But I am a cigarette smoker, so my schnoz is not, and I have sinus issues.
Let that be a lesson to you, kids.
Yeah, don't try that at home. Don't smoke!
If you want all the other sense, because actually blindness can happen to, obviously, to anybody, and especially as we age.
Disability is a funny one because, you know, it's the only minority group that we all can join anytime.
Good line.
That is a good line.
Well, actually, you had a disabled, somebody's doing a comedy for the disabled on earlier today.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's actually going to be at
Laugh Cellar Saturday.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
She's in Santa Rosa.
She's a little person and has done amazing stuff. She's been opening for her friend Margaret Choi for so many years, and she was a delightful conversation on the show with us earlier.
I haven't been to the Laugh Center. I've heard great things.
Oh, it's cool, man.
Yeah, very
cool. It really is. They've done a great job.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Give you one more.
All right, one more. I can't, are we ready for traffic?
Because it's new.
3 minutes to traffic? Okay.
This is the
I had to take my blindfold off.
I actually already told you about this beer.
This smells like Sonoma County.
Oh, does it smell like manure?
No.
The Sonoma aroma.
I think our county smells a lot better than that.
No, no. Yeah, the other day, the Sonoma aroma was happening. Blair calls it the fecal mist.
Yeah.
It can get pretty bad around harvest time.
It's part of our agriculture, which is it's cool. I mean, when I smell it, I think, God, we still have agriculture.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so this is called Sonoma, but it's from?
Hamburg.
Germany.
Wow. Yeah, it's from Germany. And it's from a brewmaster who recently visited Vienna. And, maybe you should guess the beer style before I tell you the story.
It says extra brute IPA. I took my blindfold.
You're cheating.
You know what I love about this beer is something that I notice in the Hamburg water. It's very pure, very clean.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, and the hop profile here is nice because it's unobtrusive. It's not overly bitter, but it's really aromatic.
That's what it's meant to be. And the brewmaster, he's...
Did you guys taste this?
The name of the brewery is Kervida, which means come back safely. Mm. And it's the name of the harbor exit of Hamburg. And it means all of his beers are about traveling, new experiences, enjoyment.
So why Sonoma, though? I mean, was he here?
No, he was trying to build up a recipe of a brewed IPA. But he failed for many, many months. But then he's traveling to California quite often, and he got a beer from Kim Sturdivant from Social Kitchen and Brewery. Yeah.
In San Francisco.
From San Francisco.
Ah, okay.
It's good beer.
And
it is good beer.
It was a brewed IPA, and this reminded him of the beer he was trying for so many months. And he did this recipe, and he ended up with Sonoma. And because this beer has San Franciscan roots, but has this dryness of a champagne.
Yeah. They use champagne yeast for brewed IPAs.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Usually.
And he did. And it reminded him of the wine region, and Sonoma came to his mind, and that's why it's named Sonoma.
This is really nice. Dr. Hobie?
Yeah, gosh, I think this is a stellar beer. What I really like about it is the sort of lightness and the refreshing quality coming in from the hops and also from the malt. And the bubble structure that's created by the CO2 during the ferment from champagne yeast tends to be much more similar to champagne than what I've experienced in beer. So it's got these beautiful bubbles, and I'm a real nerd. I get excited by bubble shape on the tongue, and you know this
that
has
is nerd like.
Yeah, these bubbles are not round and roly poly. They're more jagged, so you can really feel them. You can really tell they're there. And while I'm at it, since we're on a Sonoma County radio show, I think it's appropriate to say we're glad that they didn't choose Napa for the name. Happy about the Sonoma.
I'll drink to that.
Well, that's delicious beer, Mark.
All right, we're back.
Thank you.
Again, our guest, the only Austrian beer blogger. I still don't believe it. But Martin Voigt, great to meet you, man.
My pleasure.
I was hoping you can come in again next week, but you're on the road. And,
yes, I'm and heading for San Diego on Saturday.
And then you're heading back home to Austria.
Yeah, the Saturday after.
Coming up Saturday, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., is a special community open house at the Earl Baum Center. You should understand what they do, and they're wonderful folks, and the work they do is just beyond belief, and it has been. How many years now?
We're just going to be starting our 20th year.
That's
wow.
Great.
All right. So the infamous Earl Fest is not happening any longer, but this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., at the Earl Baum Center, 4539 Occidental Road, right here in Santa Rosa. There's going to be a lunch and a presentation, and you should check it out. What else do you guys have coming up as far as...
Well, actually, I had something I wanted to tell you, Steve, that you probably didn't know since the last time Dr. Hobie Wedler was in. He's done a TED Talk, and now he's on the board of directors for the, like... for Sonoma County TED Talks as well.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. You know, it's a great group to work with in conjunction with the Sonoma Country Day School on the planning committee, and we have a really good time doing it. And if any of you out there listening think that you have a big idea worth sharing, we'd love to hear from you. Let me tell you, giving a TEDx talk for me was really life-changing. We talked all about sensory literacy. And
cool.
That was fun.
We got to get you in on California Wine Country.
Let's
with
do
Dan
it.
Berger. We shall.
God, I'd love it.
We'll do that. We're going to D.C. The first week of October.
Okay.
And after I rip off Trump's toupee, we'll be
please
back.
Do.
And then, so we will make that happen, Dr. Hobie Wedler. Great to
that'd be
have
great.
You in, man.
Well, it's great to
got
be here.
Got some hand signals from Mike over here.
I love Sonoma County.
We got 2 minutes from Mike. okay, guys, thank you so much. The Earl Baum Center has done so many incredible things for so many people. It's a pleasure to meet both
thank
of you.
Thank you, guys.
Keep
thank
us posted you. On anything that's going on with the Earl Baum Center.
Thank you,
thank
so,
you so much
for having
us.
Yeah. We're so honored.
And come in anytime.
How thank else can you. People support the Earl Baum Center, too, since they're not doing the concert fundraiser anymore?
Well, it's earlbaum.org.
Yeah.
And you can do you need volunteers or how does
always
that
work? Always
we always need volunteers. Yes. We have plenty of opportunities to donate, and we're one of the nonprofits in Sonoma County. But
you guys get grants?
We do get grants.
Good.
We get individual donations, and
we're going to be around for at least another 100 years, huh, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Good. Okay. Yep. Bob and Jeff, thank you guys.
Thanks again.
It's thanks, you guys.
It's an honor to have you here. And Doc, we will see you soon on a California Wine Country.
You know, it's always an honor, Steve and Herlinda. You guys are the best, and God, we're flattered to be here. Thank
well,
you.
It's our
We'd
pleasure.
Thank you.
And the man who claims to be the only Austrian beer blogger, Martin Voigt. Pleasure to meet you, man.
It was my pleasure. Job. Thank you for having me.
That was a lot of fun.
If you're in the Vienna region, come to see me. And
trust me. You'll be my first call.
Check my website, probeer.tv.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Probeer.tv.
Yeah,
I'm on Facebook.
P-R-O-B-I-E-R. That's how they spell beer in the German. B-I-E-R.
P-R-O-B-I-E-R.
Why do you guys do that? You're just confusing us. Martin, great to meet you. Great to meet both of you, Bob and Jeff, and always great to see you, Dr. Hobie Wedler. We'll see you soon.
Cheers.
Herlinda, thank you. I'm getting 3, 2, 1. Have a great night. Bye-bye.